This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
He's back. Mr. Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline as we get back to a not exactly regular week on the schedule, but for the Bills, it kind of is. Sunday Night Football and back to work after a bye week. Sal, welcome back.
Thanks, guys. Good to talk to you. Yeah, it was a nice trip. It was a nice vacation. Got to see the Sabres win in San Jose.
Yeah.
To complete that three-game California road trip. That was really cool, obviously. It was Joe Thornton's retirement ceremony, his jersey retirement ceremony, so it was a good game to go to. They gave away these fake beards that people wore in the crowds. It was nice. It was really cool. Good atmosphere inside the tank out there in San Jose. And then, of course, Alcatraz, great. We went to Napa, just miles and miles of incredible to see just the vines for the being grown for the grapes and the wine. And a lot of rain. We actually hit San Francisco in the area when they went through a record rain period for about a day and a half. So once we got through that, everything was great.
Did you go to did you go early for the actual jersey retirement ceremony?
No. So what's funny is we thought, like, I didn't know. Like, I assumed, okay, they're going to do this before the game and have some sort of ceremony. And it wasn't like we needed to be there at that time. Anyway, the game started at 5 o'clock Pacific time, which is why, you know, I figure, okay, they're going to do this, and then they'll probably drop the puck maybe a little bit after 5 or whatever. So as we were walking there, we actually hooked up with some Bills backers of San Jose and Monterey. It was really shout out to them. It was great. You know, Lynn and Aaron, they all did a great job out there. If they're listening, just, you know, thanks for, you know, helping set all that up that we're all going to meet. So we were walking to the arena and we get to the place where we were all meeting, and it was a good, game was at 5. So guys, we get there probably about 3:30. I look up on the TV and they're already doing the ceremony inside the arena, and it's, like, packed already. I was like, wow, wait a minute, what's going on? It was kind of like, remember a couple years ago they did something with, like, Ryan? I think that's how they did Ryan Miller maybe here in Buffalo, if I remember right.
Yeah.
I'm not positive. Like, it happened a couple hours before the game. So we did not do that, but once you got into the arena, there was a whole bunch of stuff still going on.
Well, very good. Yeah, these when they want to dedicate more time, I think that's what really has brought this about, more time for some of your all-time greats. Let's just get everybody there and get like a 30-minute ceremony as opposed to like a 7-minute ceremony that, you know,
right, like Dominic Hasek.
Yeah, yeah. So give these greats the time they're worth. So everybody wins, especially if it happens before the game. And you got a win, Sal, so that's nice. Well, welcome back.
You're right.
I saw your post, you know, as you get back to work this week, and we're going to get some injury updates on what's going on with the Bills and their names to watch. Do you have a hunch about Matt Milano returning? Because it just strikes me that the timing of when they opened that practice window with a bye week in there, I'm optimistic. I'm ready to hear Matt Milano's back.
Yeah, so they have until Saturday at 4 p.m. to activate him if he's going to play on Sunday. Now, so operationally, the way this works, so everybody understands and doesn't freak out, if we don't hear that they've activated him by Saturday at 4 p.m., that's okay. They would have until next Wednesday for the drop-dead date to actually do it. We know it's going to happen by then. I mean, it's, you know, that's pretty much a certainty unless there's some sort of setback or something. The question is, does he play this week? I think he's activated by this weekend's game, yes. I think he's activated by Saturday at 4 p.m. Certainly there's a possibility that's not the case with the weather coming, and maybe they feel like, okay, let's give it another week. We don't want to put him out there in those conditions or something like that. You know, you never know, you know, how the team is thinking with, you know, recovering from the injury, what the snap count usage is going to be, and whether or not it's worth it to do that. They do still have an open roster spot too, guys, which is interesting to note here. So that's kind of, to me, being held for Matt Milano. We'll see where it goes. I do have a hunch. My hunch is he's activated at some point by Saturday at 4 p.m. for the game. And then I think he'd be active for the game. Now, they could activate him to the roster and then make him a healthy scratch for Sunday and just wait another week on it. I think that he'll be active. And then from there, you know, we'll see exactly how much he actually plays.
So he's been practicing. We know that, right? When it comes to the level, Joe asked this, like, what kind of expectation should there be when he does come back that he's just Matt Milano versus a ramp-up period? Because he has missed an awful lot of football.
Or even just, honestly, like just being an upgrade. I think the minimum that people would hope for is that he's going to give you something above what Dorian Williams has been able to this year. And that's even saying that Dorian Williams has been, I think, fine this year, but just something better than that.
Yeah, that's a really great question, right? Nobody knows until we see it happen and how they're going to do this. There's two schools of thought here, guys. It really is. A lot of people believe that, look, I mean, he's Matt Milano, and he's the way he takes care of his body, and the fact that this was not, now he was recovering from the leg injury. He's had 3 extra months for that. This was a bicep injury. This is not Tre'Davious White, where it's an Achilles and a knee, and he's playing cornerback, and he's got to rely on so many shifts and moves and back and forth and the kind of position he's playing. Like, he can still be a very, very high-level player, and that should be the expectation. Then the other school of thought is, he's 30 years old. He has not played a football game in 13 months. What can he actually bring right now that could be a level of play higher than what they're getting? And if he could, how long would that take? And I think it's fascinating to think about. So I guess all of us are wondering the same thing. I bet you the team is wondering, right? I mean, like, how do you know until you get out there exactly what it is? I think this, though, the way Sean McDermott has talked about him and, like, his hard work and what he means to this team and, you know, the fact that, you know, they've always kind of stood by, you know, the fact that, yeah, Matt's getting to be a little bit older, but they've signed him to a contract extension. They adjusted his contract last year. I don't think there's ever a thought of Matt Milano, you know, aging out. And then he got hurt, yes, but again, bicep injury here. I don't know. I just think that it feels like, to me, they're expecting a very high-level player to come back here. But yeah, you still have Dorian Williams, who's playing pretty well. Then it becomes, does he immediately become the starting will linebacker? Do you use 3 linebackers at some point? What does that look like? I think there's a lot of things to sort through here as we go on.
You might hope, by the way, this is probably a secondary to everything else, but that the Bills sell, if they ever want to go into base personnel with 3 linebackers, which they almost never want to do, but maybe that is more available to them if Milano comes back and looks good, because Dorian Williams, it would be an opportunity for him to get back on the field a little bit.
I agree with you. Matt Bove and I talked about this on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. We recorded a pod last night, so people can check that out. We had the same discussion, and I said the same thing then. I'll say it now, which is you never want to take Taron Johnson off the field, right? I mean, we all know that, and that's why they don't use base. That's why they use nickel, because he's great, and you never want to take him off the field. But if you're in a situation where you feel you need a third linebacker, so that third linebacker has been Baylen Specter, and it's been Bernard, Dorian Williams, Baylen Specter. Well, now you could go Bernard, Matt Milano, and then Dorian Williams comes in. And by the way, like, as a cover linebacker, you know, he's not, we all know that he's not, you know, terrific, but he's a better athlete and faster than what Baylen Specter would offer. But he'd also obviously be able to, you know, help out on the strong side against the run, which is where he'd play. But I think this is a fascinating situation. I don't know, like, my expectation is not that Matt Milano would be activated and then play 100% of the snaps right away on Sunday. You know, if he does get activated, if he does play on Sunday, it's probably some sort of, hey, we're going to put him out there, we're going to give him some snaps, but how many is that? You know, what level is he ready to just go and play against the, you know, defending NFC champions on a cold night, which is probably some snow in Buffalo? I think that's, you know, part of the question. I do keep thinking, though, that, boy, if they activate him Saturday by 4, and then you get into that, I mean, picture it like a movie, right? Which is, you get into the stadium Sunday, it's like a snow globe kind of game, right? We're going to have some snow. It's chilly. It's Sunday night. It's national TV. And the Buffalo Bills announce the starting defense, and Matt Milano runs out of the tunnel, right? I mean, like, how incredibly lit, to use the term the kids would use these days, would that be? It'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah. Other names we're watching, we'll call this the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Spencer Brown, Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, let's go one by one. Where did we last leave Keon Coleman for this, Sal? He had a wrist, forearm injury, and last time at practice, if I remember correctly, he was not wearing any sort of brace. So what do we think about Keon Coleman?
He wasn't, but he really never was, and he still had not played in a couple of games. So I think the fact that they didn't put him on injured reserve, you know, spoke highly of their optimism that he would not have to miss four games. He's missed three. This would be the fourth game if he were to miss. So, but you think about it. He got hurt in the Dolphins game. That was November 3rd. This game will be December 1st. That's a full month, pretty much, that he would be, you know, recovering from that. I mean, from my point of view, that would be pretty optimistic he'd be able to get on the field maybe this week. But again, you never know. A lot of times, these guys, you know, they ramp them up. They start practicing. And let's remember Taron Johnson, and who was a Terrell Bernard. And the Bills, those guys started practicing, and then they never played until the following week, right? It could be a situation like that, especially since, you know, Amari Cooper is back, and we know that. And you are, and then Curtis Samuel starting to contribute. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. I would feel good about him at least getting, you know, back to practice and on the field. But we'll hear from Sean McDermott today at 12 noon, and he'll give us that update. As far as Spencer Brown, it seemed like he was close anyway. I'd be surprised if we don't hear about, you know, Spencer coming back and practicing this week and playing. And there was a Dalton Kincaid, I think, in maybe the same boat, but he never practiced at all a couple weeks ago when the Bills were actually, you know, on the field. So that will be one to monitor a little bit there. There are two more. There is one more, by the way. This week, Dwayne Carter's IR is expired. He, if they want, excuse me, I'm sorry. If they want, he can start practicing, and they can open up their 21-day window for him. So I wonder if that's something that we hear about this week or not.
And Dwan Smoot is a couple more weeks, right, on the injury front, I think, because he's also on IR. Maybe it was the same procedure even as Dwayne Carter.
I think Smoot is still a little ways away, yeah.
Okay.
You know, nothing that we've heard anything imminent on him, so I wouldn't expect anything on him until for a couple more weeks at least.
And then while we're on injury cell on the other side, like, this will be maybe the week all year to track other teams' injury reports because of Brock Purdy. And also, not that just it's the other team's quarterback, it's that the Niners have kind of been weird about injury stuff all season, even going back to McCaffrey in week one when we didn't find out till like the day of the game that, oh, he might miss, and then he just missed.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. I think that's part of it, which is whatever San Fran says, like, how much of that is actually a reveal or not, or what they're holding back. I'll tell you guys this. I was in San Francisco. We got there on Thursday, and then Friday we were driving in the monsoon, by the way, going to pick up my brother at the airport who was flying in. And that's when I was literally listening to the game in San Francisco, which is our Odyssey station. And I'm like, oh, let me, you know, hear what they're talking about, sports talk. And that's when the news broke. Like, I'm listening to, you know, their version of WGR, the afternoon show, when the news breaks that he's not going to play. And listening in real time to the hosts. And they were stunned. Like, no one really knew what was happening. And because, obviously, Kyle Shanahan's like, look, he was good up until Thursday. He had some soreness. And then Friday, bam, he's ruled out. Nick Bosa as well. Like, at the same time, like, we're going to rule both these guys out for the game. And right away, there was a lot of talk of, well, what does that mean even for Buffalo? Like, this is something that he's been dealing with. And I didn't realize, like, you know, you have to remember, he had a surgically repaired shoulder in the offseason. So from their side, because I was listening to what fans and what media were saying over there, there's long-term concern here because of that injury going all the way back to when he had surgery. Now, he did practice on Monday with light throwing. The 49ers apparently did some light throwing. He did some light throwing on Monday. He got through that, but I don't think that means anything yet. He didn't get through last week after everybody thought he was getting through last week, and he had already been a little bit banged up.
Yeah, almost. Do you feel like your gut might lean towards it? This game is crazy. So with like how different I feel like it could go, because it is the Niners. So you might think, okay, if Purdy is fine by the time they get the game time, then okay, that it's the Niners. That's a super tough challenge, maybe even Super Bowl caliber team. All the way to the flip end, which is Purdy not playing, or Purdy even playing and he can't throw the ball deep, and like the Bills could blow him out.
I mean, yeah, and again, let's go to, okay, you're talking about a quarterback with a shoulder that's been bothering him, and you're going to go to Buffalo in probably 20 degrees, sub 20 degree temperature, somewhere around there with possible snow. Like, I mean, that's, you know, that's a tougher environment to throw in. It's colder. It's a little more stiff right on the body. You wonder if that impacts anything. And then guys, it's a non-conference game for them. And yes, as much as, look, we know the San Francisco 49ers are kind of fighting for their season here. I totally get it. Like, this is a big game for them. But if you look at their division, they're only a game behind Seattle and Arizona. It's Seattle and Arizona at 6-5, the Rams and San Fran at 5-6. I mean, even if they were, I'm not saying that they would say, oh, let's just screw, you know, playing this game against the Bills. I'm not saying that. But it's not like they're not fatally done if they lose this game. You know, they're still in this mix, and they still have a couple division games left. So this isn't a situation where it's literally like if they don't win, they're, you know, out of it and that's it. And I wonder how much any of that plays into it.
To the injury point you make about the Niners being weird, I guess Brandon Allen played with a broken finger.
I saw they showed that during the game. Yeah. He had a splint on.
He's playing with a broken finger, and it was not on the injury report this week that he had a broken finger. So, anyway. Purdy's
And by the way, the other one is Nick Bosa for them. He has an oblique, and he didn't play last week. And, you know, we'll see. And that was described as a possible multi-week injury. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see if he's available against
and
the Bills.
Trent Williams, they're really having a tough year over there. All the important players have been hurt. Sell to the Bills side of things, you know, it's the time of year where they win all the time. They always win at the end of November and into December. Sean McDermott teams, the record in December is incredible. And there are a couple tests, you know, you want to say San Francisco and the Rams, and then the Lions game will be a big spotlight game, and then the Patriots and Jets. Like, the race for the one seed is on. When we last left the Bills, they beat the Chiefs, and they made it a race. And if any Bills player went out and watched the Chiefs beat the Panthers by 3 on a late kick, you might be thinking, stay sharp, because they might give one back.
Yeah, that was me. I was watching that game on Sunday. It was right before we had gone to drive to Napa, and I'm watching the games. And, you know, it's obviously early window there, 10 o'clock a.m. when you're on West. It's kind of weird. You guys been out West for games when they start at 10 a.m., and you're like, wait a minute, I got to watch some football at 10 o'clock, right? Watching that game and coming down to the end, and man, when Carolina scores, I'm sure it was just like everybody here in Buffalo, like, oh my God, like, could they possibly do this? But Kansas City does what Kansas City does. And, you know, you can't stop Mahomes on a scramble. Why didn't they have a spy on that play, by the way? Anyway, I digress. I was frustrated watching that. I do think that Kansas City still has an opportunity to get a loss or two here. I don't think it'll happen on Friday. They play the Black Friday game. They're playing against the Raiders. But let's remember, the Raiders did beat them on Christmas last year at Kansas City. And they play them tough a lot of times when they play. In fact, the last time they played was only a one-point game in Las Vegas. Now, I know the Raiders aren't very good. It looks like they're turning back to Aiden O'Connell. But then you look down the road, there's some opportunity for them to trip up. The Chargers can play some defense. We know that. They have the Browns. They have the Texans. They have the Steelers. They have the Broncos. Their last three games are a bit tricky. So you're right. Stay sharp. Now, the Bills would have to do their part and keep winning here, as you point out. And they do not have an easy schedule here for the next few weeks. They're playing the defending NFC champions. Despite all the issues we just talked about, they're still a really good football team, obviously. They go to the Rams. They're going to be fighting for their season. And then, of course, you know, one of the games of the year is the Lions. And then Patriots, just Patriots. If they're still within, I would say it this way, if the Bills are still within one game with 3 to play, I think they have a really solid chance that could happen. I think the Chiefs could still wind up dropping a game at some point. There's 5 games left for both teams.
So I'd go further. I think if the Bills are 2 games out with 3 to play, I wouldn't write it off.
Okay.
I mean, the Chiefs finished their last 3 games are the Broncos, the Steelers, and I mean the Texans maybe less so, but the Steelers and the Broncos. The Steelers is a road game for them, and the Broncos should have beat them last time. That's a road game too. They got to go on the road for the Steelers and the Broncos.
And the Steelers game, by the way, it's a road game on Christmas, 4 days after playing the Texans.
Yep.
So they play the Texans on Sunday. They travel to Pittsburgh for Christmas Day is when they play them. So obviously, you know, those teams, that's really interesting, that whole Christmas Day round robin thing, because the Steelers have that game. The Steelers play the Ravens the week before that. The Texans are involved in that mix. There's some really good football that whole week. If you turn around, it's actually a Saturday to a Christmas. I'm sorry, it's Christmas on a Wednesday, right? But either way, really interesting there. By the way, as long as we're on the schedule talk, I just want to address, I know I've had a lot of people ask me about
flexing the
possibility.
The Detroit game?
Yes. I don't know if you guys have discussed it. So look, is it technically possible to get flexed? Yes. I mean, that's the rules of the league are, you know, at this point, they could take a game and they could flex it. Now, there are 2 Monday night games that week, which is interesting. Week 15, there are 2 Monday night games on the NFL schedule, which I think is also leading to people believing, okay, well, why wouldn't you take the Bills and Lions, which is going to be one of the best games of the year, and put it in place of, let's say, Falcons Raiders or Bears Vikings? Well, I'll tell you why. Because CBS isn't going to let that happen, guys. This would be CBS on CBS. CBS, that is their 425 national game. That's just like Bills Chiefs a couple weeks ago. It's the same reason that they weren't going to let that go. They're going to keep that game. Did you see the numbers Bills Chiefs got? The incredible numbers they got. They're going to make so much money on that game with all the viewership. There's no way. So CBS is going to protect Bills Lions. If they didn't, it would be the stunner of all stunners. Now, I'm not a CBS executive, so I can't 100%, you know, put, you know, bet everything on it that I own, but I will tell you that it would be unbelievable if CBS didn't protect that game. They're going to protect it. So Bills Lions should stay Sunday at 4:25 p.m. What's interesting about that week is there are two, I believe, that you never get this. CBS and Fox both have like a national doubleheader, I believe, that weekend. And the Fox game is going to be Steelers-Eagles, which is also really good. So why would CBS not protect Bills-Lions and go with something like Colts-Broncos opposite that? They're not going to do that. So they're going to protect the game. It's not going to get flexed. And I'm going to stick to that because I just can't see it any other way.
All right. Well, welcome back.
You get to protect one game a week, by the way. Yeah. That's what happens.
And you'd protect
you can't protect games before the schedule comes out. That's what Mike North told us on the annual podcast we do. He walked us through it, me and Matt Bovane. He said, look, you cannot protect games when the schedule comes out, before the schedule comes out, and say, oh, we want this in week whatever. You can't do that. Once the schedule comes out and once flexing starts, CBS and Fox both get to protect one game each week. So, I mean, I can't see them not protecting that game is the way I would look at it.
All right. Well, good, because I like the 425 better than a night game anyway. 425 on the road is a jackpot. Welcome back, Sal. Sure. Good to talk to you again, and you know, good. Enjoy the week, I suppose. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, for sure. Sean McDermott today at noon. The Bills will be on the practice field at 12:30. We'll get an update on injuries, then we'll see that. And before I go, congratulations to Pete Lembo and the UB Bulls. What a fantastic season, really. I mean, 6-2 in conference, 8-4 overall. The season they put together with a new coach who I love his vibe. I think he's got a great relationship there with that school and the team and the community. And you know, when they first came out in that first game with the 716 on their helmets, I thought that was super cool. But congratulations. Really nice win yesterday. And 6-2 in conference. That's a heck of a season. So way to go, Bulls.
And by the way, very quickly on that, if Bowling Green beats Miami on Friday and Ball State beats Ohio on Saturday, UB's in the MAC championship,
which might not be likely. But
it's not. I think it's a Bowling Green's a 2.5 point underdog. You need that, and then you need Ball State to win, who's a 16 point underdog.
Okay,
that's
hey,
the one
it's MACtion, baby. You never know, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio. Yeah, UB. I mean, Kent State finishes 0-12 after that win last night for UB over Kent State.
I saw somebody that did not even like one of like the big college football writers. I think one of the ESPN guys that said this Kent State team might be the worst Division I college football team ever.
Yeah. Well,
but they smoked them.
Good for UB and on bowl watch now, and of course maybe MAC championship watch if they get two results. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. You can give us a call if you'd like ahead of Bills Niners as we continue the race towards the one seed for the Bills and the Chiefs. You can give us a ring, 803-0550 on WGR.